This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, an organization devoted to producing and distributing Reformed theological content for a connected age. Online at reformedforum.org. This is Christ the Center, episode number 171, coming to you from the floor of the Gospel Coalition's 2011 National Conference. It's time for Christ the Center. We've got a special edition. We're recording from the Gospel Coalition 2011 National Conference. My name is Camden Busey. We're here at the Westminster Theological Seminary booth, and I'm joined by Jared Oliphant, who is the former director of admissions at Westminster. I don't know what he does anymore, but hi, Jared. Welcome welcome to your booth.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be at my own booth. And I should clarify, my new position's title is called Regional Coordinator, with some things after that, but I won't bore our listeners with all the details. But yeah, Regional Coordinator down in, I'm soon to be moving to Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's because of a change of life situation, is it not?
A bit of a change, yeah.
Married.
I am getting married on May 20th, so I'll be living in Charlotte, still continuing to do work for Westminster.
Well, that's great. It's not great news that you're moving, but it's great you're getting married and set up, and we'll have another post, an off-site post down in Charlotte, so hopefully we'll be able to spread the cause of solid Reformed theology in another state.
Definitely.
Well, cool. We got quite a meeting of people here. There's a session going on presently, so that we haven't been getting a lot of foot traffic. I just showed up, came in O'Hare Airport, and I'm very pleased to be able to come to this conference. It's a true blessing to be able to be here and to meet with a whole bunch of people. So we're going to be doing recordings and all sorts of stuff from the floor, and I'll attempt to release them as soon as possible, but they're going to be coming out week by week for a time. So we'll have a bunch of special features. So Jared, why don't you explain what happened today and some of the things that are going on here at the conference?
Yeah, the conference is just insane in a good way. Just the amount of people, the amount of speakers.
The entire city. It's enormous.
It is.
How many people are here or registered supposedly?
I heard 6,000. I heard over that. Yeah, I don't know about final registrants, but conference really started this morning at 8 a.m., and so we've been really here just talking to people since it's now after 8, so for about 12 hours now. We've just been answering questions and talking about the school and getting to know people, and we've had, just every question under the sun. So it's been really interesting, and from people really all over the place, from the Netherlands, from Australia, from right around here. So it's
real
it's a
Dutch
good group.
People.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people want to call themselves Dutch because of the theology, but that's a real Dutch person.
And it's been good because we've been able to interact a little bit with the topic, which is obviously preaching Christ from the Old Testament. So we have just all of Westminster's
right
resources.
Up our alley.
Yeah. And, Clowney, his books are here, tons of Beale books, Poitras's books, and so we're really proud of like our history and tradition and how we can answer that question. So it's been fun so far.
Well, it's great to be here, and it's great that you've been having a full day. We'll be here all day tomorrow, which will be Thursday or Wednesday for those of you that aren't listening live or anything. And so we'll have a lot going on. And there's just so much going on here at the conference. What is the session that's going on right now?
Right now there's a panel discussion. There's included, we had a couple speakers speak already, but they're now in a panel discussion. So it includes, I think you can see, there's Tim Keller. Yeah. I think Ligon Duncan is part of it. Is Alistair Begg in that list?
Yeah,
or Brian Chappell,
right? Crawford Loritz.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just a big panel going on now. The main session here at the McCormick Place in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah,
there's a concert going on at 9 o'clock. It's going to have Brooks Ritter, Jamie Barnes, Sandra McCracken, Matthew Smith, Melanie Penn, and Isaac Wardell. So all sorts of stuff. And then tomorrow it starts right off at 8 a.m. Funny thing here, 8 a.m. I come from a very small town in Illinois when I was growing up, 850 people. No stoplights. Still no stoplights today.
Wow.
There's three churches in that town. And yeah, exactly. Tell me, it's funny. So I get this conference packet, and I look and see who the speakers are. One of them is Chris Bronze, who's written for Crossway. He wrote a book on forgiveness. A really great book. And he's a pastor at that small church.
Wow. This,
at one of the churches at this small town. He's speaking tomorrow, 8 a.m., on pastoral searches and transitions. Chris Bronze, Ligon Duncan, Mark Dever, Rick Thompson. So, blow my mind, you know.
That's
I come
crazy.
All the way from Philadelphia, come back here to Chicago to come to this conference, and a guy from the little town, Stillman Valley, where I grew up, is going to be speaking at 8 a.m.
Very
to
cool.
a crowd of who knows how many people will be here then, thousands and thousands.
It really is amazing. I mean, you go into the main stage room, and it's just people as far as you can see. And the place, McCormick Place, you've been here already.
Yeah, but back in my programming days, I came to a few conferences,
yeah, it's
Microsoft conferences and whatnot. It is gigantic.
It's huge. It's very, very nice. I mean, I've been to tons and tons of conferences, and the convention centers can definitely range in terms of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is very nice. It's run well. The staff is good. So, yeah, we've been really fortunate to be a part of it.
They get so much traffic here. I mean, multiple conferences per weekend.
Right.
And they've got it down to a science. But if there's anything coming back to this area in the future, take a look at it. And we'll keep you updated throughout the conference about what's going on in the main sessions. We'll hope to get reaction from people as they come out of the conference center and come by the booth. We'll try to rope them in and discuss, and we'll just try to get a general reaction here from the Gospel Coalition National Conference 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had an amazing amount of Westminster connections speak so far. We started off, you know, Al Mohler was recently on campus, and so mm-hmm. he spoke, and it was very similar to his address that he gave on Westminster's campus for the Gaffin Lectures, and I got to say hi to him, and it was good catching up with him again. And then, then you have Tim Keller, and he spoke, and obviously a Westminster D-Min grad. And then we had Alistair Begg speak, who also is very familiar with Westminster. I think took a couple classes. I don't think he graduated from Westminster, but has definitely been a part of the community. So it's been nice to get that exposure. And then just recently, right before I came over to speak on the mic, Michael O was up there on the main stage, who is a Westminster grad. So, yeah, there's some good connections out here.
Nice. And I was going to ask you that. I mean, obviously, when we come here, Reform Forum serves kind of a niche, if I'm Bill Egger. And we serve, what can be considered in the grand scheme of things, a very small corner of Christendom. And we're happy to do that. We're faithful, and we think it's the most biblical position. So we are old school Presbyterians, and we're not ashamed to say it. But what is the value of an old school Presbyterian coming to something like the Gospel Coalition? Sometimes we get a little criticism in the comments or people emailing us about our involvement or interviewing people that are outside of our traditional Reformed fold.
Right.
What do you see as the value of coming to a conference like this, being a solidly Reformed person?
Yeah, and I should say I share some of the concerns that people have about a coalition like that, like this, and not wanting it to replace the church. Obviously, that's valid. You never want anything but the church to replace the church. But I think even for those who are most critical on the organization itself, there's a lot of value in just being here and seeing what's going on in the church at large and what people are interested in, both topic-wise, their approach to topics. A lot of our interaction has honestly been clarifying some of the things that had been talked about with the books that we have on the table, such as Beale and Clowney, and really getting into it further. So I think you can definitely be a part of something like this without necessarily endorsing every single speaker to the man or, every
you
single...
You can't even do that at Westminster conferences.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying that both you and I, working and me being a student at Westminster, we have conferences at Westminster Theological Seminary, and, a lot of times you go out in the when you go out from the auditorium and we sit and chat about I can't believe he said this.
Exactly.
He said that. So I mean, come on, it's
just
gonna
not
happen.
As monolithic as people want to make it. And there's such a for the severe critics, the throw the baby with the bathwater mentality is just I don't think very helpful, especially just because. Like I said, awareness-wise, this is what people are reading. And so even to be able to offer a supplemental book or a supplemental approach to what people are talking about anyway, I think can be very helpful for promoting the true gospel in its various facets.
Yeah. The Gospel Coalition obviously exists to promote the gospel. They do have a statement of faith on their website. I've read through. I haven't read it in the last couple of weeks, so I'm not... up to speed entirely on it, but I wanted to ask you just, you know, maybe we can start up a discussion before we try to rope some other people in.
Sure.
In terms of the Gospel Coalition in this conference, where do we draw the line between somebody that's involved and welcome here as somebody who affirms their statement of faith
right.
versus somebody who's outside the line? Let me start, and we'll start naming groups until we think we might have yeah. the line.
Yeah.
Total pluralist.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they, you know, and
that's
and
an easy one. No, yeah. that's outside the gospel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple ways to answer it. There's how we would answer it and then how the organization itself would answer it.
Oh,
you know?
I'm not talking about just people registering. I'm talking about the statement that this organization, the Gospel Coalition,
uh-huh.
has a statement of faith.
Uh-huh.
And it's much broader than the Westminster Standards.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
So where... How broad is it, I guess, is uh-huh. the question.
Yeah.
Is a total syncretist, pluralist person, do they fall within the realm of that
no.
statement of faith? No. This is like who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah,
this
right.
is a question.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, bring it in a little closer.
Well, it, you know, just the recent controversy with Bell, I think it was pretty clear that they marked
yeah.
themselves as not agreeing with what he says in
yeah.
his book, and that was pretty much out of the gate. You know, it's funny that Kevin DeYoung's...
The universalist position in Love
yeah.
Wins.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
pop universalism.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to ask maybe next something like an Eastern Orthodox person who has some sort of a Trinitarian doctrine but believes
right.
in some form of theosis.
Right. I wouldn't see them being included here. I mean, it really is, you know, however you define it, it is kind of the broader evangelical circles. And so, I don't think Eastern
Orthodox.
Here's
a tougher one. Yeah, of course. I think that's an easy one, too.
Yeah.
Rome doesn't fit.
No.
Here's a tougher one. Abardian.
I think that, depending on how someone articulated it, it would probably... get by with being okay with some people who are associated in these circles. But again, it depends. You know, let me put it this way. For people who don't exactly understand Barth's logical consistency and how it would be played out
mm-hmm.
with implications for the gospel, they probably would just say, you know, Barth's emphasis on the word and, you know, the Christ event and things like
yeah.
that. That sounds very good. So, they would probably just be sympathetic to, you know, the quote-unquote good parts of Barth with not realizing exactly what they mean in his context.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a tough one. And the Barthians, even implicit Barthians, it's becoming a lot more popular. People aren't calling themselves Barthians, but they're espousing doctrines of Scripture that Barth would be okay
right.
with. And so you're finding that more and more, and I think maybe that might be a hot topic of discussion, especially as we're talking about biblical theology and preaching Christ from the Old Testament. I would imagine as we
True.
Discuss things with people these next few days, we're going to get into issues of doctrine of Scripture, no doubt, and revelation.
That's
and
right.
And if Christ is in the OT, how is he in the OT?
Yeah.
What kind of Christ? Is it? Is it a Christ event? Is it mm-hmm. like this eternal incarnation that breaks forward and in some type of revelatory event, or what is it? That's there. So that's an interesting thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that, of course, the statement of faith and this conference brings up the whole question of why does an organization like this exist? And many of the critics will say, well, it's a quasi-church. It's fulfilling a governmental or denominational role for people that are independent.
Right.
You know, so people that have a congregationalist ecclesiology, this fills a type of get-together gap that they don't have because they don't have general assemblies.
Yeah, I was just to say, this is almost like a broadly evangelical general assembly. It has that feel to it, and, you know, the kind
PCA.
Of gathering.
Come on. OP
no.
is like,
oh, no.
get the work done.
You took the words right out of my mouth. It does have kind of like a
in many
a
ways,
because
we're small.
Yeah, a yeah. PCA yeah. General assembly on steroids is kind of the feel of it.
Well, I have a lot of those concerns in terms of ecclesiology, and I sharply disagree with the congregationalist mentality. However, can an organization exist and produce resources and have conferences and invite people that are, you know, from a broader perspective and try to bring them together to at least promote some semblance of a somewhat reformed doctrine of salvation and
yeah.
doctrine of Scripture? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think this is a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll probably catch some flack for the saying this in the comments, but, you know, I'm happy that this type of thing exists, but I also want to be here trying to promote a full-orbed doctrine of you know, a full-orbed systematic theology and right. biblical theology and historical theology and everything. And that includes an ecclesiology from my perspective. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to be here to take part and to be blessed by many of these speakers and the people that are here. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't mean you have to agree with a congregationalist on ecclesiology. So
yeah, I think that's right. It has to do with expectations too. I mean, what do you expect the Gospel Coalition to do?
That's a great point.
Yeah, you know, if you expect them to kind of, you know, serve as a replacement for the church, you're going to be disappointed, and that's not their intent, and they say that explicitly. If you see that as a natural implication, well, you have to do the work and prove it from actual sources. You can't just kind of speculate and say, hey, this is leading down a road that I don't want to go on because of X, Y, and Z. Well, prove X, Y, and Z. You know, no one on the Gospel Coalition site is stating that they're trying to do that. And so I think demonstrating someone's critiques is very important if you're going to critique rather than just kind of dismissing the whole organization. Mm-hmm. So I see that as important in the whole conversation as well.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Okay. Great. Sweet.
So we have with us here Russ, and how do you pronounce your last name, Russ?
Gabe.
Gabe. Yep. Wonderful. And we're really pleased to have you. I've seen your name in the comments. As I've said, we paused the recording for a minute, so you missed a few minutes of introduction. But so Russ showed up last night, and he's been able to attend some of the lectures or the sessions today. And you said you really liked the Tim Keller one. What was that one about?
Oh, that one was probably the best is he went back and gave us good reasons to look at the Old Testament and bring it all forward. Mm-hmm. And if we're not ending with Christ, then we're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
And if it's just a moral story, then it's just a Sunday school lesson.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you get that with a lot of preaching, where especially in the Old Testament, and that's why you got to find Christ there. You can't just look back to the Old T, find out the good thing they did and make it a be like David kind of sermon, right?
Exactly. He did. I mean, you know, Keller knows what he's doing when it comes to biblical theology. He always claimed, you know, his influences are Clowney and Klein.
Yeah.
And so he did just that. And he did a great example of Matthew's use of Hosea, which Greg Beal is all about too and has done some work on. And then Hosea's use of the Exodus as well. And so it was a good kind of streamlined approach. You know, out of Egypt, I called my son. That's what I'm referring to. And so you saw a good example of interpretation, and it was also encouraging because that directly relates to a doctrine of Scripture. Mm-hmm. He never once said, you know, this is taking it out of context. It was a very organic relationship between the New Testament and the Old Testament, and within the Old Testament from a prophet to the Pentateuch. So it was encouraging. It was good.
Now, is this something, this type of preaching, something you're familiar with in your church context, or what's
very
your background?
Much. It's what we get. However, we had a discussion with some friends that we're staying with today, and they were just astounded because that's what they've always been used to. But my history when I was young.
Yeah, you weren't getting preaching like that.
I was not getting preaching like that, and the Old Testament was either something about dispensationalism or it was a moral story.
Yeah.
So it is refreshing to hear good preaching and to come here and hear it solidified with what they're telling us today. So it's been good stuff.
What was the reception in the just among the crowd? Was there any noticeable type of reception? Or you mentioned speaking with your friends. Did you overhear anybody else speaking about Keller's presentation?
I haven't heard anybody else speaking about it, but if somebody could argue with that, boy, I'd really be surprised.
Yeah,
and you know, the pacing of the conference doesn't give much for feedback, too, you're just going from one thing to another. Yeah, they really are. And so it's probably going to be, you know, the next week after this that people are really going to be processing and going back to, like, their notes and, just kind of, like, soaking in what they heard for the past few days.
That's interesting. You know, it seems to me that a lot of times people aren't, when they're not familiar with the redemptive historical approach to the Bible, especially to Old Testament preaching, and they hear it, then the lights kind of turn on often. And it's, for me, it was the same kind of thing with, you know, covenant theology or something like that. You know, and I didn't grow up necessarily, especially in college, the churches I was going to didn't preach or teach this way. And once I finally had someone to demonstrate to me and show me a redemptive historical approach, then I started to see it all over Scripture. And it's like, oh, obviously that's the way that even the New Testament authors are speaking. That's how they're using the Bible. And it's like a light turned on in my head. So I'm wondering if any lights turned on for anybody that was in there.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
In fact, that's exactly my background.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when I was exposed to Reformed teaching, good Reformed teaching, and good Reformed books,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the light bulb went off, and it's like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. So, once again, that's why I'm glad I'm here.
That's great.
I'm looking forward to the next 2 days as well.
That's great. Well, we got someone else here. What's your name?
Yeah,
no,
I want it.
No, it's recorded, but
Stefan,
we can edit. Stefan?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Camden.
Nice to meet you.
Well, we were talking about you can hang around, Russ, if you
okay.
want. If you don't want to, don't feel like
no,
you have to.
Okay.
We have Stefan here, and we've been talking about the approaches to the Old Testament and redemptive historical preaching and all that sort of thing. But where are you coming from? You just come out of a session?
I wanted to introduce Stefan because he's a friend of mine. He's he's involved with admissions with RTS, and so obviously a bunch of their guys are here. And just kind of wanted to get Stefan's reaction as he's been listening to the content and just participating in the different lectures, and also just what the reaction is that you're seeing at the RTS booth as well.
Yeah, if you just get right up into the mic, yeah.
Sure.
That's great. Sorry for the inconvenience. Or you can hold on to it. It's whatever is easier for you. So RTS, you're at RTS Charlotte?
That's correct.
Great.
Yep.
A lot of good teachers down there.
Oh, man, it's a wonderful place. Yeah, it's just a privilege to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I think to have so many people gathered at a conference like this, talking about the gospel and with the level of speakers that we have here, I've met folks from all over the world. I speak French and Spanish, so I've spoken, use my languages here, if you will. But just to see the excitement.
I speak in tongues. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, so Stefan, I got them if you interpret
covered,
it right.
I got them all covered.
That's
got
right.
You beat. Trump card.
Better not let my charismatic brethren hear this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just been great encouragement, and just to think about the engagement, to hear from Tim Keller, who is so, I think, so gifted in understanding culturally how to engage folks in the city, engage the mind, and to think through Scripture and because I have a booth, I haven't been able to sit in
we suffer from the same thing.
Same
yeah.
affliction.
So, but
Russ is free here to roam as he pleases.
I've been really impressed by a lot of the folks who've come through and just talking with them about, especially their introduction to Reformed theology. I realize not everyone here is necessarily Reformed.
Right,
but
true.
I have seen a great interest, and a lot of them through the podcasters, to hear Tim Keller and Piper. And
yeah, the sermons
Driscoll
get
and,
delivered all over the place through that.
Yeah, and just the importance of media in terms of getting out the message, a high view of Scripture, the sovereignty of God, and how we start from the objective position of Scripture, not subjective, mm-hmm. our experience and so forth. And it's just been neat to hear testimony after testimony of brothers and sisters who've come to faith and who are really interested to engage and learn more and to be more equipped. I hear that time and time again. There's a number of pastors even here who've not gone to seminary, and they're just hungry to learn more.
Yeah.
They feel the weight of what it means to shepherd their people.
Yeah.
And to feel more equipped, and so they've hence come here.
Now, I'm sure you get around to different conferences just working for RTS, but Russ, I don't know if you've been to other places, but either of you, what is the feel or the uniqueness of this conference as opposed to maybe some other things? I'm not saying that one's better than the other, but is there a particular distinctiveness about TGC versus other conferences?
I kind of think this is pretty equivalent to T4G last year.
Oh, really? And it's interesting. They alternate, don't they?
They alternate.
Yeah.
They both have a good feel to them. Yeah. Good teaching and encouragement from other guys that you know, mm-hmm. it's unparalleled. Mm-hmm. I just can't miss these anymore.
Stefan, were you able to go to that one last year?
I was able to go to T4G, and I think it's very similar. You have some of the same speakers.
Yeah.
I think it's
Was it just large?
It was quite large, yeah,
wow.
5,000 or 6,000. This conference is a little bit more diverse.
Is
in
it?
Terms
okay.
of a few of the speakers. T4G has the big four, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Ligon Duncan, Al Mohler, Mark Dever, and CJ.
Yeah, yeah.
And, they certainly have some other speakers, but those are the main speakers. I remember hearing MacArthur and... I think Sproul addressed the crowd as well, but there's a little more diversity here, I believe, and but still, within the Reformed camp.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
And this conference is tremendous to have so many thousands of people from different backgrounds. I consistently day to day engage with that young, restless Reform movement.
Uh-huh.
There was an article in Christianity Today, a book written about it as well, and I just see that, there's just uh-huh. hunger in this young culture, a new Calvinism, if you will.
Yeah.
It's just so exciting to see people with this great view of God,
mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's what really embodies that movement.
Hey, Jared, what is, have you noticed that as well in your work with admissions and just your finding an increase in the number of younger people that are interested in the doctrines of grace? That's one
right.
one way to put
that
it, but generally speaking, traditional historic Reformed theology?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the public exposure that particularly Gospel Coalition is getting out there, sometimes even not explicitly, but the example that people see with a guy like Kevin DeYoung's writing and what Justin mm-hmm. Taylor links to and those kinds of things, even just set... a foundation for people
yeah.
that they might not even be aware of, so that when we come in, it's much easier to talk about the sovereignty of
yeah.
God, to talk about, assuming that the Bible is true when you argue from it apologetically, that may not have existed before that. So, to put it one way, it kind of greases the skids a little bit to prepare the way
nice.
To come in and talk about those things.
Nice blue-collar metaphor. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, I meant
reminds
to do
me
that.
Of my foundry days. It's interesting, Russ, we were alluding to earlier, just, for me, when the lights turned on for a redemptive historical approach to the Bible, and you had mentioned a similar type of experience, what do you notice about your own experience in coming to Reformed theology versus or compared to what seems to be going on now with this young restless Reform movement? Either of you, if any of you have any thoughts about any comparison about your own pilgrimage to a Reformed position and what we're seeing among young people today?
Well, I always like to say, in college I fought Reformed theology and lost.
And then did you enter into a cage stage?
Yeah.
That's what I did. I used to fight Calvinism, then I became one, and then I wanted just to
fight everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
In my pilgrimage, I was born with a Christian family, but my parents are not Reformed. I actually was at a PCA church, but not Reformed at all. And
yeah.
Just couldn't understand, why God could send some to hell. And I really think I had a mixed up view. My view of man was much larger than my view of God.
Oh.
And in college, I sat under some great teachers at Grove City College in Pennsylvania.
Is that where you went?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And a lot of people from Grove City.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. And was introduced to Reformed theology there. And that kind of began that pilgrimage. I always had a call to ministry before, mm-hmm. very involved in Young Life. Saw
mm-hmm.
a number of my friends come to Christ and started a student-led Bible study at public high school, and reached out in college to fraternity guys as well. And really
wish
had
you were at my school. that was me for a while.
Yeah, so I had an evangelistic heart, when I got a grasp of this great view of God it just drove me more into the Word, and just to realize, even though I had an undergrad in Bible or religion, as it was called there, I needed to be more equipped.
Yeah.
And that's what led me to seminary, and thankful for RTS as well as Westminster and
yeah.
a lot of the other solid seminaries that, that teach the word.
Yeah, and the train men for gospel ministry primarily. Russ, how did you end up in a Reformed church? Did you used to attend a dispensational church?
Absolutely. Yes, I was raised a dyed-in-the-wool Arminian. For me, it was just, you know, the stack of bricks were delivered, but nobody ever built the wall. Mm. And Arminianism was so disjointed, I just kind of got disgusted with it and went my own way for a while, and the Lord was working on me and brought me back and hooked me up with a pastor who, at the time, was reading Martin Lloyd-Jones and was converting himself to the Reformed faith. And the rest is history. That was 30 years ago, which I just gave away my age. So, and I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
I didn't know what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. I was looking for something, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And the Reformed faith is definitely the answer. It's the purest form of what Scripture's teaching us.
Yeah, that's what we believe, and that's why we do what we do, presenting and
we love it,
proclaiming the gospel unadulterated.
Yeah.
So what are some of the sessions coming up tomorrow? What are you guys looking forward to? Yeah, exactly.
As we're
looking
at
our badges.
It starts bright and early. I think the first thing is at 8 a.m.
Yeah, there's a special thing on a pastor. Is that what it is?
Pastoral searches pastoral and transitions. Searches. That's the one you mentioned. It's with Ligon, Mark Dever, Rick Thompson, and Chris Braun.
Hopefully, a lot of that's not happening today. You're like, hey, you got this great. Oh, let's switch churches.
Yeah, right. Yeah, pastoral swap. And then at 9 o'clock, there's a worship with the Gettys, Keith and Kristen. And 9:30 is the first really general session, and that's with James McDonald, and that's called Not According to Our Sins, and it's out of Psalm 25. And then you have some kind of workshops and little things that you can go to that are like breakout sessions. Pallison is speaking tomorrow, which I'm definitely looking forward to.
Is it a workshop?
It's what's called a special event. So he is doing New Trends in Biblical Counseling, which I'm I'm really excited about. That's gonna be cool. I don't know what he's gonna say, to be honest. And then we have a couple more general sessions later in the evening. So it's going to be a full day again.
I'd imagine all of these things will be available in one form or another for those people who aren't able to be here. But we'll also attempt to cover them, provide some reaction to anything we can attend ourselves. But if not, just to speaking with people that were in there. I'm sure people that aren't able to be here in Chicago, as unfortunate as they are, they won't, because it's Chicago. And then they'll be well informed as well. So,
yeah. Well, thanks guys for coming on. It was cool talking to you.
Yeah, had a pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks. Well, we're gonna cycle some more people in here. Another session just got out. Mark, is it Mark?
It's Mark.
Mark.
Hey, Mark.
He is
Hey, what's up, man?
Awesome to meet you.
I hear you're a D-Min student?
Yeah, that's what I am, I guess. Yeah.
At Westminster?
At Westminster.
Fun. Well,
yeah.
So what just got out and what's your reaction?
Yeah, it was great. That's a good question. I was trying to take it all in. No, heard Alistair Begg a little earlier. This was really great. They just honored D.A. Carson
and put together
a compilation for him and just honoring his work in both the academy and the church.
Wow.
And, I know that God's really used him in my life in huge ways, just through his different works and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful night.
Wow.
Yeah, you just got out of a panel discussion. What are some of the things, being a pastor, you're in the Denver area.
Yes.
What kind of hit home for you content-wise that was talked about in the last panel discussion?
Yeah, no, that's good. Brian Chappell led the discussion. He did a really good job. Just very practically, how do we... obviously, Alistair Begg preached from Ruth tonight, and I think for a lot of us as pastors, we're kind of afraid of the Old Testament. We don't totally know what to do with the Old Testament. Specifically, how do we take people to the cross? How do we take people to Christ?
Yeah.
How do we faithfully preach the gospel from the Old Testament in a way that's honoring to the Scripture, true to the Scripture, glorifies Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And, every session so far has just been very helpful, I think, in just thinking through that. Practically, I know my context. I serve a church in an area in Denver where we have a lot of lower income folks and don't have a lot of education. And so I'm just interested to how can I bring the Old Testament alive that I might make Christ even bigger in these people's lives that I pastor every week, every day. So
Yeah, we had the privilege of hosting a Full Confidence conference about a year ago at Mark's church, and it was just very cool to see his ministry context and really just the Denver area, some people coming from neighboring churches. We had a lot of fun being in near the Rockies.
That was awesome.
Guys. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was great. Well, I'll tell you what, we love Westminster. We love what you guys are doing. We love the Reform Forum, and yeah, we're big fans. So I brought a crew, and
yeah, we got to meet your crew.
That's cool. We're really grateful for your ministry. So
well, thank you
for
that. Praise God for that, and we're tremendously blessed just for being able to chat and talk about Reformed theology, and that other people listen. And we're just happy to see it get out there. So
it's great.
It's real exciting to be here because we haven't had a conference presence yet, and this really isn't an official presence in that sense, but we're happy to be able to partner with Westminster for this, and
that's great.
We'll hope to do this more often in the future, so should be pretty exciting.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thanks,
well, thank you,
for
Mark,
what you're doing.
It's great to speak with you. Well, it looks like things are winding down. This concert is about to be ending, and I think we might be calling it a night for the recording, at least for the time being. We might maybe we'll record something from the hotel when we get back there. But so, Jonathan, what was your overall take on the entire day? What was day one?
I'm encouraged because people are moving in the right direction. Is this coalition totally there as far as what I think is a proper view of Christ in the Old Testament? No. It's not. They're not. But but I think it's, you know, that doesn't mean I just would dismiss the whole project. I think it's an excellent move.
Yeah.
In the right direction. One that I haven't seen in a long time at this quantity. So, you know, Keller today was doing a lot of basic sort of a Kleinian view of the redemption of the Old Testament people.
Yeah, we
Israel.
Talked about him a little bit earlier. You were actually working, but we didn't talk about the Kleinian element. What? How would you say it was Kleinian? As opposed
about,
to just basically redemptive historical.
He used a lot of the same ways. Kleinian in the sense that as far as understanding even the creation, right? Genesis 1. Has not redemptive, but eschatological and biblical theological themes that will be picked up again, right? The chaos of the waters, the separation of the waters, you know, things like that that are not necessarily soteriological back in Genesis 1, but are definitely biblically, theologically loaded and are picked up again and are echoed, both in Noah and in the creation or the recreation and the decreation of the flood and also the Exodus. That to me is excellent, you know, to see those vistas. So I was encouraged. That would probably be, that's my example of, that's something, you know, that's something that Klein, you know, touches on.
You think next year or in 2 years when TGC is rolling again, we can have a Klein Club booth?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. But
we need to get that running
awesome.
Again. We had, for the listener who may not be clued in, Jonathan and I, along with a bunch of other guys, partook in what we called the Klein Club, where we met during the summers to work through Kingdom Prologue and Images of the Spirit and Glory in Our Midst. And
absolutely excellent.
We even had a Kleinstein made.
Kleinstein made.
Which had all the hyphenated words from Kingdom Prologue on the side of it. So it said Klein Club, and it had like Glory Perusia Spirit and all these things that were written on the side. It was a great time.
Let me tell you what was helpful about Klein Club. Klein Club helped me to see that Klein is nowhere near a nature grace dualism. That sounds Thomistic. Klein is
so
at every
far
point.
From it. So far,
Vantillian. You just got to read all of Klein to understand that. The second thing I would say is that Klein doesn't have this overemphasized view of the law when it comes to the covenant of works being recapitulated, because Klein understands that it's a likeness to the covenant of works. It isn't the covenant of works.
Yeah.
So he understands that there's grace And there's a works element together. Yeah. There's not a strictness in the sense in which the covenant of works is, again, the actual covenant of works. Absolutely not. It's according to Romans 5, it's a likeness, not an exactness.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff that and sometimes you hear things that are being that Klein is being pulled down in the wrong direction or are bolstered in the wrong posture for a certain theological camp, you know. Klein Club helped me realize that that's just bad, not careful.
Mm.
Klein scholarship. I mean, not that Klein scholarship really exists yet, but.
Is there any hope of moving the Klein Club to the internet, maybe with another show? We could have
that would
a
be
Klein
a
Club
great
show
idea.
To get some of the listeners to participate?
Only if.
Are you going to run this?
If Matt Patton would agree to be on.
True.
We could go to his house. He lives in Wheaton.
That's true.
We'll go knock on his door.
If Matt Patton would agree to head up the Klein Club, I would.
I hear he grew a beard. You know, he became a PhD student in OT.
Did he really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he got rid of it. But
that's hilarious. I'd love to see that. But overall,
Christ in the Old Testament.
Overall, with everything, I'm encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's great. I don't know if how is the Ordo Salutis applied to the Old Testament saints. I don't know if that topic's going to come up here. But
I don't think the words Ordo Salutis are going to be mentioned from any stage anytime soon.
But it's encouraging that the majority of people here are Baptist.
Yeah.
Whether they're non-denominational or the majority of the people.
You think that's just because there are more Baptists just
in America?
Generally?
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good that they're moving towards a direction of thinking as an scripture as an organic whole.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
Galatians 3, the gospel preached beforehand. I mean, you know, I wish that was one of the main texts.
Yeah, so that's encouraging.
That's a good point.
As far
that's
as
good
the
point.
Whole movement. Yeah.
Do you think we have to have a CCLI license to like do this interview? As if all this music's bleeding over our microphones, are we like somehow violating?
No. You owe me.
I don't think.
Please, CCLI, don't call us. We don't intend to do. We're not bootlegging.
Is this indelible grace?
I honestly don't know.
If it is, I don't think they're anywhere close suing anybody.
No, but. Yeah. Anyway, you don't want to get into legal.
Oh, okay.
You have to, the churches have to purchase a CCLI license.
Oh, right.
And then a lot of Christian artists, they kind of throw their song in the hopper, and then CCLI handles the license. You know, we don't even need to talk about this, but.
You don't even want to know, man. You don't want to go there.
Somebody's going to email us telling us all the details about this and why we shouldn't be, you know. Hey, the microphones pick it up. We're sorry.
Yeah. My bad.
Anyway, so day one is about to a close. We're hearing a rocking guitar solo now, and as soon as this is done, I'd imagine this thing's going to be wrapping up. But how many people were you able to talk to today? You said you were encouraged,
man.
But how were your conversations?
I was talking to people the whole day. I don't know. I haven't been able to count a lot.
Yeah.
A good group today. Hopefully it picks up even more tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, we got two more days of this coming up ahead, so we hope to continue to record. Again, I'm not exactly certain how we're going to chop this up and release it, but these will be out in the podcast feed, and there'll be plenty more to come. So this is the first of many. So stay tuned, and we thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.